Today is the first of the four Sundays that we call Advent. The word Advent simply means coming. It's the season when we celebrate once again the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to pause for a moment. And I want you to reflect on all of what I've just said. I'm going to review some things with you that you already know. But you know, I think it's a good idea sometimes to review things that we already know. Listen to this. God, the infinite, almighty, creator of everything, swept through the universe, landed on his little planet that we call Earth, and took up human form with us. Wow! That's Advent. That is the incarnation. In fact, the theological term is the incarnation. It simply means in the flesh. God took on bodily form and made himself known to us. And he gave himself the name Jesus. That's staggering. Don't ever become blasé about that. It's too wonderful. It's too sacred. It's too astounding to yawn in the face of God and say, well, here we go, another Christmas season. Okay, I'll be glad when this is over. No, people can become very blasé about a lot of things. I'm sure you know that. For instance, I am amazed, if not appalled, actually, by the indifference that some people show for world events. God is in world events. The Word of God is in world events. And if you're not careful, you can become indifferent or even bored when you talk about the Christmas event. God is profoundly in the Christmas event. Now, if it makes you yawn, you need to revisit the roots of your salvation, brothers and sisters, and praise God Almighty for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Now, the German theologian Erich Sauer said this about the incarnation. I love this quote. He said, of all times, it is the turning point. Think about how true that is. And he went further. He said, of all love, it is the highest point. Of all worship, it is the central point. Of all salvation, it is the starting point. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is the turning point, the highest point, the central point, and the starting point. And I'm going to use those four adjectives during these four Sundays of Advent and develop each one of them. And of course, today we're going to begin with the first one. Of all times, the incarnation is the turning point. Now, here is a definition of a turning point. A turning point is a time at which a decisive change in a situation occurs, especially one with beneficial results. Now, I Googled the term turning point just for fun. And I found out that we are surrounded by turning points that are very nice. They are available to all of us right now. For instance, in Frederick, Maryland, we have the Turning Point Community Acupuncture. I had no idea. Who knew? And there's also the Turning Point Real Estate Agency. In Pennsylvania, they have the award-winning Turning Point Restaurants. David Jeremiah's radio and television ministry is called the Turning Point. I found the Turning Point Financial, Turning Point Technologies, Turning Point Counseling Services, Turning Point Addiction Treatment, and many, many more. In other words, we are surrounded by turning points in our lives. Important events that hopefully will bring beneficial results to us. The Bible is full of stories about positive turning points in the lives of many people. For instance, Abraham. Just think about the turning points in his life. Multiple turning points that affected him and affected his family and affected us, even us today. What about Moses? Any turning points in his life? What about Paul? What about the disciples? And Mary? And Joseph? And the shepherds? I love the turning point in Isaiah's life when he had a vision and he saw God high and lifted up and seated on a throne with angels worshiping him. I love the description of that vision. That was a turning point for him. He saw God in that vision as he had never seen God before. It was a turning point for his whole life. Now I'm going to say something that you may think, I'll yawn at that. I hope not. Perhaps even today, God wants somebody here to have a turning point in your life. Even before you leave here today, He may reveal Himself to you in some way today, and you may see Him as you've never seen God before. A life-changing benefit. I want you to think about some of the best turning points in your past life when God lifted you up. How about when you got your driver's license? Whoopee! Turning point. How about graduation? Turning point. Marriage? Children? Grandchildren? A job? If you think back on the turning points of your life that lifted you up, did you remember to list Christ's coming to earth for you? The incarnation? Did you include the turning point that Christ humbled himself even unto death? And as the song says, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know it was you. Does the Christmas event still thrill your soul? Or are you blasé about the Christmas event? I want to invite you all to a dance. It's a wonderful dance. It is a fun dance. Even if you're not a good dancer, you're going to love this dance. And there are other people who have been invited to this dance with you who've accepted the invitation. One of them is Miriam, Exodus 15, beginning in verse 19. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. And then Miriam took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Can you see it? Another one was David, 2 Samuel 6. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city, King David was leaping and dancing before the Lord. David and the people often sang, Lord, you have turned my mourning into dancing. Let's read that over and over in the scripture. That's because they all experienced a toe-tapping turning point. How about it? This Advent, set your lips to praising God and your feet to dancing for joy. He is your turning point. Not only do I want to invite you to a dance, but I want to invite you to testify. I want to illustrate that with a wonderful story. It's from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5, and it took place by the Sea of Galilee. I pause there because I'm picturing the Sea of Galilee in my mind and even the hillside where this took place. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. Yuck. Yuck's not in the Bible. I said yuck. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons on his feet. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. I don't know how severe your problems are, but I think this guy probably has you beat. He was raving mad. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of Jesus. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. I've been there. I've been to that hillside. There's a cliff, goes right into the Sea of Galilee. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out, and they went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake where they drowned. What a sight. What an event. I would say that what happened to that guy was a major turning point in his troubled life. And you know what he did? He got cleaned up and he got dressed up. And when the people saw him, that he was all nice and neat and healed, the people were amazed. They were amazed. Have you lost your amazement for the Christmas event? Listen up. You are that man. All the demons of hell and Lucifer himself have fought for your soul even before you were born. But Jesus Christ came in the flesh to rescue you from the devil. He claimed your soul. You accepted him. And that was life's most important turning point for you. Hallelujah. I didn't even have to elicit that one. Hallelujah. Now listen to what Jesus said to that man. Mark 5:19. "Go home to your family and tell them." God calling. Oh, maybe that's your interview, Susan. We could dance. Yes, we could dance. Oh, it's Lois's. Oh, it's Lois's. Yes. That was good, Lois. That was really good.
Thank you.
Yes. Here's what Jesus said to his family. I mean, to the man. He said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." That was not an invitation. That was a command. Jesus said, "Go testify. Go tell others what I have done for you." And perhaps the hardest part of that command was to go tell your family. The family dynamic is unnerving sometimes. Amen? Maybe it's the hardest place in the world for you as an individual to share your faith. But that was the first thing Jesus said to this man. Go tell your family. Verse 20. "So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed." Brothers and sisters, Christmas was the beginning of the most important turning point in your life, and I want you to dance and I want you to testify. Joy to the world, the Lord is come into my life. Just got to tell somebody. Some of you have experienced an automobile accident where your car was completely totaled. And everybody said there is no way to repair that damage. Just abandon it and move on. Where there are lots of people in this world who are damaged goods. The world might consider them a total write-off. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He can handle thousands of your demons. I've known people who got into financial trouble. And they got help. They might have gotten it from family members. They might have gotten it from a friend. They might have gotten it from their church. People helping people. But there are some financial problems, spiritual problems, health problems, marital problems that are beyond man. They are like that car that was totaled. No relative, no friend, no doctor, no pastor, no one is able to repair the situation. It takes God to repair it. And only God. To bring a life-changing point to the situation, it takes the Creator of the universe. The way Jesus did by the Sea of Galilee with that man who was possessed by many, many demons. Now, your turning point in life may not have been as dramatic as his, but it was just as miraculous. Look at you, right here, right now, worshiping Jesus Christ. Miracle. It's a miracle. Tap your toe, at least. If you can't dance, that's why you dance. That's why you testify. That's why you sing glory to God in the highest. Now here's something we talk about just about every Advent. There are many people in this world for whom Christmas does not feel like a positive turning point in time. Instead, it feels awful. Now this is a quote from Dr. Arthur Hayward of Kaiser Permanente. See if this describes you or anyone that you may know. We feel guilty at this time of year if we personally cannot live up to the standard to be ever cheerful, ever happy and joyful. In the midst of all the in-your-face advertising that you receive this time of year and the pressures that you have to go shopping and to cook and to entertain and with your ears being constantly assaulted with holiday music that doesn't seem like it will ever end, perhaps you feel like Joseph, whose brothers threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery. That's Christmas for you. How tragic. Perhaps your health and your stamina cannot keep up with Christmas. I won't ask you to raise your hand if I just described you. You are in a pit. You don't even put up a Christmas tree anymore. It's too difficult. You're in a pit. You miss a loved one or special friends with whom you used to celebrate this season. Another pit. Being in the midst of Christmas can be like being in a pit for some people, and they may actually develop a fear of Christmas season. They don't want to feel. Satan has done his worst, and you are in a pit. And that's the way it looked for Joseph. His brothers threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery, and it looked absolutely helpless. Hopefully you know the wonderful story of Joseph, and you know how things turned around for the better. I'm reading a part of it, Genesis 50:18. Joseph's brothers came and threw themselves before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid." Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. God meant it for good. And that includes whatever pit you may be in right now. Twice Joseph said to his brothers, don't be afraid. That's exactly what the angels said to Mary, and what they said to Joseph, and what they said to the shepherds. Fear not. Your soul is no longer in a pit because of the full measure of grace that Christ Jesus brought into your life. Your life pit, no matter what it is, all your fears are also in His capable, mighty hands. Your God, who intends it for good in your life, will eventually reach in there and He will rescue you from that pit. He will pull you out. That also calls for some dancing and for some testifying. You may be thinking, that sounds good, but will God really do that for me in my circumstances? Yes, He will. How do I know? Because His name is at stake. Because His promises are at stake. And He takes His name and His word very seriously. You can trust Him completely if only you will. In fact, if you look at the future, you may be shocked at what God does for you in the midst of whatever pit you may be experiencing. Now, there's just one more point that I want to make. Your turning point today may actually be a returning point. You may be like the prodigal son. You've said, Father, all this incarnation stuff is fine. All these promises of rescuing me from a pit, Lord, they sound very good. But I just want to enjoy myself for now, please. Thank you very much. And I'm going to go my own way. That's not only blasé, that is downright arrogant. Beyond comprehension, the prodigal son realized that when you are not with the Father, or where the Father wants you to be, things may appear that they're going well in your life, but that is only a facade. You need to return to the Father. You need to make a U-turn in your life. You need to sing again and again and again, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for Thee. Of all the times, the incarnation is the turning point. And of all the people in the world, you are the reason. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy God, we thank You for Your word and Your promises and Your coming. We thank You that You can reach into the depths of the sea and pull Peter from the water. We thank You that You can reach to the depths of the pit and pull Joseph into a new life. We thank You that You, Lord, can heal. You can restore. You can provide. You want to do those things. Lord, may we be with You. May we allow You to live in our hearts. And as we come into this special season, Lord, may we again return to You, our glorious Father, God made flesh. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.